Grace, peace, and mercy to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text is the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. Dear brothers and sisters of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, well, there he is. You'd better take a good look. Who is this on the high mountain? You know, it's hard to see because your eyes are blindfolded, or blinded, I should say, by his face that shines like the sun, and by his clothes that are as white as pure light. And he's flanked by the two of the greatest prophets of the Old Testament, Moses and Elijah. So who in the world is this? Ah, preacher man Jesus? Yes, but can you say more? I would remind you of the Old Testament reading that we heard earlier, another mountain climb. On the mountain, Moses, Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and the 70 elders see the God of Israel. And under his feet was something like a pavement made of sapphire, clear as the sky itself. So, yes, preacher man Jesus is on the mountain, but here you are shown who he is. Face beaming as the sun, clothes whiter than light itself. The preacher man Jesus is also, he's God. And his divinity is leaking out all over the place for you to see. He doesn't try to cover it up. Jesus gives you the truth. He is God in the flesh, truly God of God and light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. But he's not God for himself. He's God in the flesh for you. He has come to be God for you. Here's how preacher man God for you Jesus rolls. He has a game plan. He announced it 6 days earlier. He is trekking to Jerusalem in order to suffer many horrible things, to be betrayed, killed, and then rise from the grave on the third day. Now, that's quite a game plan. It's the salvation of the world game plan that consists of him pulling off a stunner, a Holy Week victory, not for himself, but for you and for your salvation. And so there's Moses and Elijah holding a conversation with him. The cross and the empty tomb, his suffering, dying and rising. That's what they're talking about. Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament promises of salvation for Israel, for the world, and for you, given by Moses and Elijah and all the prophets. God Jesus has come to redeem you, his sinners, from all your sin and death and hell, as he will pull off a suffering under Pontius Pilate, a crucified, died and was buried, and raised again on the third day, salvation for you. Now, Peter butts into Jesus' conversation with the prophets. Peter wants to have his say-so. He issues an encyclical. He wants to do something. If he's going to be the first bishop of Rome, then he just can't sit there. James and John may beat him to the punch, and so he can't have that. He says, pardon the interruption, Lord. It's great for us to be here, isn't it? But you know, Lord, if it's okay with you, I've got a plan. Now, I know I haven't prayed about it, but I'm doing this off the cuff, Lord. But you know how I am, and so here goes. Let's revise your Jerusalem mission statement, shall we? Let's put a hold on all that silly suffering, death, and resurrection talk. In fact, let's postpone all that absurdity indefinitely. Instead, I will start a building project. I'll put up three booths. First, tent number one will be for you, then two more, one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's make it transfiguration all year long, a 24/7, 365 transfiguration. I'll market it as Transfiguration Mountain. Oh, that's right, I'll do it that way. With Moses and Elijah too, they're welcome to stay. And I'll go from booths to a gigantic auditorium like the Pinnacle Bank Arena. I'll add some rock bands, an amusement park, big screens up the wazoo. A multimedia, multiplex extravaganza. It's time, Lord, that we Walt Disneyfy your transfiguration. Jesus, can't you just imagine the crowds? Good grief. The year-long tourism, the mega success. Once this mountain is Walt Disneyfied, we'll go gangbusters. This is the majesty that will sell. Majesty, worship His majesty. That will be our theme song. Dare I say it, Jesus? Oh, I will. Yes, I'm on a roll. Your passion play plot is just flat out moronic. It's a losing proposition. In fact, you know, Jesus, I'm really getting tired of hearing it. Poor, poor, pathetic Peter. Poor, poor, pathetic you. If you've fallen for the Peter plan. The foolproof Peter plan is to have a forevermore Walt Disneyfied, transfigured Jesus have a happily ever after on the very high mountain. The Peter plan would protect God Jesus, shelter him in a tent, camped out in perpetuity with Moses and Elijah, a sideshow, freaky power Jesus. The Peter plan would divert the majestic Jesus from lowly Jerusalem, sidetrack him from bitter suffering, deflect him, and save him from a Good Friday dying. Are you all in with the Peter plan? You are? You too would protect Jesus from suffering a Holy Week? You too would guard Jesus from a bitter and humiliating death? And then, of course, there'd be no need for a, you know, what was that? Some kind of rising on the third day, whatever that means. Gotta keep this Jesus on the mountain. You know, makes sense. After all, you know, we can't be having this suffering and dying. And what was it? What did he say? Rising Jesus? Can we? Can we? Well, if you bullishly insist on having a Disney Jesus like Peter wants, then you have no salvation. There will be no Savior for you, for Peter, for James, or John, or anyone for that matter. That's how serious this is. But, and this is a divine but, Jesus will not be protected, he will not be preserved or diverted or taken off track. Not even Peter will derail Jesus from hiking down the mountain, descending to the plains, and going to Jerusalem. He has a Good Friday salvation job to do. And so Moses and Elijah, they can't stay either. No booths for them. You know, thanks anyway, Peter, the prophets declare. You know, we're here to bear witness to Jesus and his Good Friday dying for you and for the world. And while Peter's still trying to push his Walt Disney Jesus on Transfigure Mountain, still trying to have his say, that's when the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ takes over. The Father reveals himself in the very bright cloud. He overshadows them all. And what the Father says puts a zipper on all of Peter's prattle. Pay attention, everyone, the Father says. This Jesus, whose divinity is showing, he's my son. I love him. I am very pleased with him. He's my suffering servant, prophetic king. He is the Savior. He has come to take the world's sin in his body and suffer and die with all of it. If anyone is in him, there's no condemnation. Heaven is for those who believe in him. And so if you're going to listen to anybody, you'd best be listening not to Peter, but to my son. It's no wonder then that Moses and Elijah disappear. They're not saviors. They're only servants who bear witness to Jesus. And so as Jesus gets on with his Jerusalem work, they step aside. The attention is not on Moses and Elijah, but on Jesus, whose divinity leaks out and glows full blast on the mountain. And that's when Peter, James, and John are sore afraid. They are flattened by the Father's words. They're like dead men. And so Jesus must come to them. And he touches them. And he says, get up, arise. You're safe with me. Even in my suffering and my death and rising. There's no need to be afraid. I'm the Savior. And so now, let's go. I've got that Jerusalem job to do. for you and for the world. And since who I am and what I'm going to do is so scandalous and so deeply misunderstood, Peter, let's not talk about what you've seen until after I've risen from the dead. And so off Jesus goes, undaunted, down the mountain, face and clothes back to normal. Peter, James, and John will listen to him as they follow him to Jerusalem. And so do you as you follow him this Lent, as he goes on his way to do his work, this man Jesus, God in the flesh, who suffers and dies for you, you, his sinners. You are forgiven, brothers and sisters. You are saved, and heaven is yours. It's what Jesus says. He's the Savior, the only one. That God Jesus would suffer himself to die for you the Good Friday way is really quite staggering, isn't it? It just flattens you too like dead men. And so here today Jesus comes to us with all the angels and archangels, Peter, James, and John, and the whole company of heaven. He touches us and bids us to get up. And look, behold his hands, his wounds are showing. And from his hands, his Mount Calvary body and blood in the sacrament are given with the bread and wine. He says so. Listen very carefully to what he says to you in the sacrament. Now then, you too are witnesses of his divine majesty right here and now. And where he's for you, for the forgiveness of your sins in this unique way, there's no need to be afraid of anything. Brothers and sisters, during Lent, happy listening to the Father's beloved Son, looking forward to seeing you then this Ash Wednesday, where we will begin to have a repentant and a happy Lent together as we follow and listen to Jesus the Savior of his sinners. In the name of Jesus, amen.